Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram. This week with the, it's still winter here in Port Sydney, surprise, surprise. But this week with the temperatures dropping down to minus 18, minus 25 with the wind chill, I'm having a warming whiskey, a warming Islay whiskey, and it's my go-to old favourite Lagavulin 16-year-old. This is, I've mentioned it before on the show, it's such a deep, rich whiskey with a lot of oakiness and smokiness and peat in there, and it's just, it's one of these that it makes you feel like you've been smoking, but thankfully you haven't. All you've got is the warming alcohol that, you know, goes through your and permeates through your whole body. So, awesome dram. So, Schlangevar. Today, I want to talk about something that I don't know why I was reminded of it. It happened a few years back, and I think it was maybe when I was putting my daughter to bed the other night, and we were talking about stuff that, you know, funny stuff we used to do back in the old house and, you know, when it came to bedtime. But it basically what had happened was, this was about, I don't know, 4 years ago or so, when my daughter Salem was 4 years old. And she used to be really bad. She's got better now, but she used to be really bad at lying awake in her room hours after you put her down to bed. And doesn't matter, you know, how tired she was, etc. You'd put her in to bed at, say, 7:30, 8 p.m., 9, 10 p.m., she'd still be awake. So one of these evenings, I'd heard her, you know, chattering away in her bedroom. And again, she'd been in bed for about an hour or so. So I thought, okay, I'm going to find out why she's still awake and try to get her to sleep. So I went in to give her a cuddle and ask her why she was still awake. And she whispered to me, "She's here." "Who's here?" I asked. "The girl." Now at this point, I pulled away a little bit because I'm thinking, okay, the girl, this is Salem's bedroom. The only girl that should be in here is my daughter. So I pulled away and I looked at Salem, who was looking intently behind my shoulder. "What girl?" I asked. "The girl in the corner." I looked behind me to the corner of Salem's room, where there was a little bit of shadow, but I couldn't see anything. I looked back at Salem, who smiled at me and said, "Eh, she's gone now." Now, to say I was a little freaked out is understating it. Probably didn't help that I'd just recently watched The Conjuring, where a family has a not-so-pleasant experience with spirits in the new home. And if you haven't seen The Conjuring, I recommend you watch it. One of the best recent horror movies I've seen that is actually a scary horror movie. It's not gory, really, but it's very much a, you know, a psychological one that does play on your nerves. So recommend it, you know, watching it. But this wasn't the first time that Salem had conversations in a room. My wife and I, we used to have the baby monitor set up, and we kept that gone for a while after the kids were past their baby stage, because we're just too lazy to switch it off for one reason. But just because we had, you know, instances like this where our kids would be having little conversations. So now usually we just put it down to Salem telling herself stories to fall asleep. But after that recent "the girl" exchange, I wasn't so sure. And it seems I'm not alone either. I shared this story on Facebook when it happened, and a lot of my friends left examples of their own kids. One of my friends, Susan, mentioned that it was creepy, but probably true. Her daughter used to wave and laugh at someone in the corner of her room when she was a baby. Now, she also knew her dead father's name, like the mom's dead father, so the kid's grandfather, when she was only 2 years old, when she wouldn't have really known the grandfather that well, apart from, say, granddad or dada or whatever. So, you know, that was pretty creepy. Another friend mentioned she'd volunteered at a daycare, and one of the girls there named her boy doll Mushu, which is kind of an odd Asian name. I believe Mushu's got a cultural relevance in history. I will check and leave that in the show notes. I apologise for not knowing at the moment. So her mum asked her why she named him so, and the girl said, "He told me." Like Mushu had, you know, the doll had told her what to name him. Another friend also had her son had a friend growing up. Like I say, a friend in inverted commas, you know, quotation marks, whatever you want to call it, in your part of the world. And her son talked about him often And one night while the mum was checking on him before bed, she saw him in the corner of the room watching over him. So, you know, after that, they had to have a chair at the dinner table just for this friend. So the overarching connection there between each example I just shared is that they all refer to children and not adults. In addition to these, another friend suggested a reason for this. And she said that some children are more sensitive than others. Spirits know when people can see them and are drawn to those people. And I get that because our son Ewan is very sensitive and he seems to know when people need a hug or, you know, a friend or someone just to be there. He's like his mom in that way. My wife Jacqueline is an empath, so she can pretty much attune to the emotions and the feelings you're going through at a given time and say or do the right thing pretty much every time. And my son's very much like that. And that made me wonder if the innocence of young children allows spirits to be seen as physical beings. And we as adults lose that as we grow up and see life in a different way. When it comes to ghosts and stuff like that, I think I believe in them or whatever spirits are. Or the friends, you know, that my daughter and the kids in the examples that I spoke about, they relate to. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, there's too much there to discard completely. I mean, do all kids simply have imaginary conversations, or are there spirits of kids that died early that roam the earth looking for friends to keep them company? Do all kids have a storytelling gift? When I used to blog, I spoke about this often, about, you know, how we as adults and kids as teenagers, I guess, as well, and to a certain degree later elementary school, we seem to get the storytelling and our creativity knocked out of us. And not knocked out of us as in beaten out of us, but just knocked out of us from either a teacher point of view or parents saying, come on, you're a bit old for that now. You know, that kind of approach. And I wonder if all kids have a storytelling gift early. And it's only when they go to school and are taught that it's bad to use your imagination and you need to, you know, study and get good grades and all that, that they lose the will to converse with someone that isn't there. The reason I'm not sold on the belief that ghosts don't exist is that many people claim there's no such thing as UFOs. But I clearly saw one when I was a teenager in Scotland. And this might delve into a strange, you know, Twilight Zone period now. But my sister and I were coming home from a movie and something caught my eye in the sky. And so I looked up and there was like this really bright light traveling at a crazy speed. I mean, super crazy, super fast. And it was going in three different directions and it took about the same amount of seconds to hit these different directions. Now, this light stopped, hovered, rose, and then dropped. Then it scurried one way, then another. And it took one final swoop for about, I don't know, 5 seconds. Then it shot up into the air beyond the clouds. Now, I looked at my sister, who was 9 at the time, and she said that was the coolest thing she's ever seen. She hadn't seen Star Wars at that time, but I digress. But to this day, I believe we both saw a UFO. So if I saw something that so many adults say doesn't exist, doesn't it stand to reason our kids can see things that we say don't exist? I don't know. I do know that I'm extremely jealous of my little girl if she has a ghost for a friend or did have a ghost for a friend. I mean, that'd be pretty cool. As long as it's not, you know, like, as long as it's like Casper and not Chucky. Now, that'd be less cool. Although Chucky wasn't a ghost as such. He was a doll, physical doll. So maybe it'd be okay. But, I mean, I don't recall our son Ewan having the same experience. My wife recalls him having conversations, but the cats we used to have kept the ghosts at bay. This was like something I found out, you know, going back to that Facebook conversation that I spoke about. Seemingly, cats are very good at keeping spirits at bay, so maybe we should have cats instead of dogs. But, no, don't let my dogs hear me say that. As an adult, it's nice to have something whimsical or imaginary, but that's also, you know, something that we can believe in. I mean, the world is a cruel, cold place at times. It'd be nice to, you know, to be able to see old friends that are no longer here or loved ones who've passed. But, you know, perhaps the realities of the world have made it too late for us to go back to that. It reminds me of the scene in the Christmas movie, The Polar Express, which we watch every single year with the kids. Amazing movie, and I'm pretty sure you must have seen it, but if not, make it one of your Christmas traditions. Anywho, in the Polar Express, The main character is a little boy who refound his belief in Santa Claus after an adventure to the North Pole. When he's at the North Pole, he's given one of the bells from Santa's sleigh. This is the first gift of Christmas, and it's a very special gift, obviously. And for this kid who was of the age where, you know, I think maybe he's a 10, 11-year-old, I'm not sure. But he was of the age where you don't believe in Santa anymore. But this movie and the journey he went on made him believe again. So on Christmas Day, only the boy and his little sister can hear the chime of the bell that Santa gave him when they shake it. His parents can't hear it. And the boy does a voice, well, the voiceover is of the boy's older self, and it's Tom Hanks. So as a voiceover of the boy now an adult shares, even his sister lost the ability to hear the bell as she got older. Not the boy, though, because he'd seen it with his own eyes, and he believed. I don't know, perhaps we've lost the ability to see beyond our eyes and believe that which we no longer do. And if so, that's a shame. You know, then again, we could always just let our kids show us the way. It'd be nice, you know. It'd be nice to be more creative, to be more imaginative, and just to, you know, just to explore and see what, you know, see what kids can see. It maybe make the world a better place, a more innocent place. Who knows? Anywho, guys, this has been the Life Through a Dram podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to leave a review for it, you know, head on over to ratethispodcast.com/dram, and that will allow you to leave a review on your favorite app. Until next week, guys, take care, be well, and be kind to each other. Slangevar.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.